Plus
49. Bienvenidos to another edition of Plus 49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and I'm so thrilled to have you with us for another episode. On today's show, we're sitting down with Eduardo Roldan. He is the co-founder of Immersive. This is a platform that's rethinking how expats learn German. We will also catch you up on this week's news from the latest Migrant Founders Monitor and what it says about Germany's startup scene to the ongoing frustrations with digital infrastructure. Yes, we're talking about your painfully slow DCL. And since next Thursday is Christi Himmelfahrt, we will also explore how this religious holiday somehow became Vatertag in Germany. The one day of the year where you will spot groups of men hauling beer-filled wagons throughout the countryside and also in the city. Let's get into it. Let's jump right into this week's news. First up, a new report is shining a spotlight on migrant entrepreneurship in Germany. The 2025 Migrant Founders Monitor, published by the German Startup Association and the Friedrich Naumann Foundation, shows that 14% of startups founders in Germany were born abroad, a figure that climbs to 23% among the so-called unicorn companies valued over $1 billion. These founders bring academic expertise, global perspective, and a healthy dose of risk-taking. But despite their contributions, many still face bureaucracy hurdles, language barriers, and difficulties accessing local funding networks. The report calls for faster visa processes, more multilingual support, and stronger efforts to make Germany's startup ecosystem more inclusive and internationally attractive. Meanwhile, Germany's digital infrastructure is slowly moving into the future. Very slowly. The Federal Network Agency has laid out a plan to phase out DCL connections nationwide in favor of fiber optic. New DCL contracts have already been discontinued, and the switch will happen in three stages, starting with voluntary transitions and ending eventually with full disconnection. While fewer than half of German households currently has access to fiber optic internet, officials say their rollout will be slow, deliberate, and won't leave anyone behind. Think slow. Think really slow. Back in Berlin, the district of Neukölln is taking aim at furnished short-term rentals. New rules will ban them in several protected neighborhoods, including Schiller Promenade and Reutersplatz, as a way to protect locals from displacement and skyrocketing rents. Mayor Kai Wagner also called this week for tougher penalties for landlords circumventing rent controls. And finally, over last weekend, tens of thousands protested across Germany, calling for a formal ban of the far-right AfD party, recently classified, pending legal challenge, as a confirmed extremist threat. Protests were held in more than 60 cities, with Berlin drawing several thousand participants. Well, that's it for your news roundup for today, and let's take a short music break. Next Thursday marks Christi Himmelfahrt, or Ascension Day, a Christian holiday celebrated exactly 40 days after Easter Sunday. It commemorates the biblical event of Jesus ascending into heaven, as described in the New Testament. While Easter honors his resurrection, Ascension celebrates the moment he leaves earth, having spent 40 days with his disciples. Established around the 4th century, Christi Himmelfahrt becomes a standalone holiday, often preceded by Bittag, days of prayer for good harvests. In medieval times, the holiday turned into a grand church spectacle, with figures of Christ lifted towards church ceilings. In some regions, people still eat poultry, also known as flying meat, as a symbol not to the ascension. But this is Germany, so naturally, the day has taken an additional meaning, Vatertag, or Father's Day. But just don't expect a bouquet and brunch. Actually, in many parts of Germany, especially in the north and the east, Vatertag is celebrated with boozy hiking trips, hand-pulled wagons full of beer, and plenty of grilling. And of course, no woman. The tradition's roots are a little murky. Some say it's tied to the older Christian customs, like walking your land on Ascension Day to renew property rights, a tradition that likely got more festive with each generation. And others link it to the 19th century, where Berlin breweries organized an all-male outings and just needed a handy excuse to hand out beer. This modern version of Vatertag likely owes part of its popularity to one practical fact. Ascension Day is a national holiday, meaning workers have the day off. So even those who aren't fathers enjoy it as kind of a men's day out, or simply a chance to light up the grill and relax. So whether you're commemorating Jesus' skyward departure, enjoying a countryside beer hike, or just firing up some Bratwurst at home, Christi Himmelfahrt in Germany is a unique blend of sacred, social, and a slightly tipsy. And yes, if someone asks why German celebrates Father Days with a wagon full of Pilsner, just say it's tradition and say Prost. I promise every time that I start doing these interviews, I do not look only for Latin people, but somehow it ends up being that the Latin community in Germany is quite big. And it looks also that the Latin community in Germany is doing a lot of startups. And that's why today we have another Latin with us from a different region from Mexico, actually very far away from Argentina. And his name is Eduardo. Eduardo, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm very glad to be here and looking forward for the questions and introduce myself a little bit better and share this moment together.
Then let's go with the first question, would be present yourself.
Yeah, I come from Argentina. Like most of Argentinians, maybe you hear about it, we are also half of us Italian. I think 60% of the population has Italian roots. So actually, I'm also Italian myself, and I have been living in Germany for the past 5 years. I came to Berlin during the coronavirus. I was doing my master's in Italy, and then because of coronavirus, I decided like why I should stay in Italy if everything turned online in that time. So I decided, why not go to Germany, where a friend of mine was, hey, come to Germany, it's pretty nice. Okay, why not? End up here for summer, only for spending July, apparently in Berlin, but end up to be a 5 years lifestyle, actually. Yeah, who I am, I don't know. I did a lot of things in my life, to be honest. I traveled in many countries. I live in Australia as well. I live in Argentina. I live in different cities from Argentina. I live in Italy, as I mentioned. And always trying new things. That's kind of my mantra or whatever. Always trying to try different things from working to entrepreneurship, and sports.
And right now, you're entrepreneuring. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about your new baby.
Okay, it's actually a very recently new baby because we started, I'm part now currently of a program, of an accelerator program in Berlin that is part of this Berlin incentive to, it's called the Berlin Startup Stipendium, where you can apply with ideas that are just an idea. You can apply with a business model, etc. And these ideas, when you apply for these programs, they can get funding from the state of Berlin for a few different programs. The one I'm currently doing is part of an accelerator called SIBB. And we started this journey, this entrepreneurship journey, with two more co-founders, where we started developing an idea to help teachers in Germany to learn AI. Was our main idea. So we know how difficult it is to be a teacher overall and everywhere in the world, actually. And since of all of us, we met here in an academy, a tech academy, we thought that actually helping teachers is something that we really look forward to do. And that's how we started the idea, the concept. But we found a lot of barriers. We hit so many walls. None of us, well, one of our co-founders, she's from Baden-Württemberg, so she's from Germany, but she's a CTO. So she's the person that's less involved, let's say, with the product, touching people, let's say, like being in contact with people. So my role was actually to be more in contact with teachers, with schools, the government, etc. And it was not an easy thing. Basically, one of the main issues, there are many issues, but one of the issues were actually my German is not good enough. something I'm working on. And I didn't study here in Germany, so my knowledge of the education system here is quite limited. Even though the struggles are global, so the same education system is very replicated in many different parts of the world, knowing how the particularities of every single school and how the states, even in Germany, the Berlin state has a different education system from the Bavarian state and blah, blah, blah. So I think there were so many complexities on the idea that we didn't knew at the beginning. And yeah, that's why we decided to pivot completely, to change everything to a different idea, keeping our mindset of learning, of course, to help people, expats in Germany, to learn German. So we're actually focusing more in the expat community here in Germany, because I personally know how difficult it is sometimes. I didn't got into too much the problem, myself per se, like integrating in Germany, but it is, I think, something to work and to make it easier for expats. I think it's a country with a lot of opportunities for sure, but I think the barriers of entry to this country could be lower, definitely. And that's how we end up creating this idea of immersive, and we are trying to help people learn in German through German content.
We're back with Edu, and we're talking about how complicated German can be to be learned. It's definitely not a very easy or friendly language, but I guess that is exactly the point where we can find a challenge and find a way to overcome it. And basically, this is what you're doing.
Yeah, actually, I do believe. I mean, there's many problems to tackle in Germany. You can get around, especially in Berlin, with English, certain parts. All my life in Berlin, I have been working in English companies, and has been easy to move around, work without the need of having German. But the more you enter to the system and the more you actually want to change the system, let's say, or to make a different impact, let's say, the more you realize actually German is the main language of this country, which is obvious, of course, but then you realize how much you really need it. And I think it is a difficult language, definitely. I think that's something not to question. It's not easy to pick it up in the street. It's not something like, for example, us as Spanish speakers, we can be in Italy and I will pick Italian just by walking around, you know. Here, German is something you really need to put the effort, and you will take effort, time. Sometimes it's not your priority because you need to focus on your career or whatever it is. So definitely it's not a language that's easy. And that's what we're trying to do with our application. We know there are many solutions, like Duolingo, Babbel, etc., that they help you learning German from a different point of view, especially in grammar, etc. But we believe our idea is to mostly integrate it already existing content that is already in German, so people can actually understand what's going on in Germany. So when you're reading the news, you can read the news in German, but also understand what's going on. Because I think that's an important thing that I think as an expat is to actually be more involved in what is happening in the country. I think it's very important, and not just be in your English bubble or Spanish bubble or wherever it is, that kind of put you away a little bit from the culture. And I do believe it's, as you mentioned, we should learn German in Germany. That's no doubt at all. Some people are like kind of not. I think if you're in a country living here, you should be learning the language. It's our task, let's say. So our solution is to make it more easy.
Is it also because this is something that happens a lot? We have been making a lot of interviews with different types of expats, and we come always to the part of learning German is one thing. Yet I have come to talk with other expats that say that they don't understand why Germans are so reluctant to talk in English, even though this is Germany and we should be speaking German. And then I think about me going back to Mexico and hearing someone talk in English and how aggressive I can get, saying like, this is Mexico, we talk Spanish, you should be talking in Spanish, at least saying hello. And then I come back to Germany, I say like, oh, now I get it. I need to understand the German very well.
Yeah, I understand the fact like we are here and we should be speaking in German, but I think in a country with, I think 30% of the population is immigrants, I think, or maybe more, it's a country that should be a little bit more friendly in that sense, in my opinion. I think especially US, I think the German education system is quite good, and English is a language that you learn much better than developing countries like Argentina. I believe that you could make it a little bit more flexible, let's say. And there are many barriers, especially for bureaucratic problems that you could have, like when you need to tackle any issues with the government. For example, I recently had some encounters with the Finanzamt or this kind of thing. Like, it's super hard. They don't want to speak English. It's okay. It's not part of their task, or it's not part of their job. But then you counter that, how you do it, you know, like, I know it's my task to learn German, but I need to solve this problem. I want to pay my taxes. It's not that I want to, but how I do it? There's no other solution. You need to find a friend that will call for you, or you need to be in that call with this person. So I think there should be a system in place from the Germany state or the government to actually help people to go around a little bit better without using the German all the time. Maybe it's just being more digitalized. So maybe the solution is not that everyone should speak English. I'm not saying that. But maybe you should not be calling the Finanzamt for every single issue. Maybe it's a form that you could fill, you know, and then it's more easy and you get a reply. And it's, it doesn't take 2 weeks and a fax in the middle. So I think that will be the first step. It's not forcing everyone to speak English, but maybe making things more digitalized, it will be the first. But yeah, there are many things. I think it's not it is not that easy. Topic.
Well, Finanzamt is a topic for itself. We're talking with Edu Roldan about immersive, and one of the key parts of our podcast series is that we actually have a German on board with us. I'm going to just do a quick advertising here because Edu mentioned it. It is actually one key point to start to know what the news and what are the media saying about different topics. And unless you know how to really, really, really speak German, it's very complicated to read the news. So that's why we started making the morning espresso, because it's all the key news directly from the media, and it's a translation. So you can just read whatever is very important for you and you can understand what the news highlights are. So I'm going to go again once more. Go and subscribe to morningexpresso.de or just find our page in Plus 49. And you will get all the main news of Germany here in our newsletter directly to your inbox. But the whole point of this was that we're talking about how to learn German. And we have our very personal German producer, who is Marlene, and the person who's going to ask Edu a couple of questions.
So thank you for that, Sigrid. And one thing you mentioned, and I'm seeing this because I'm also a student right now, and one thing that almost everybody in my class is drinking right now is Mate. At least that's what I'm noticing. So I'm having a blackout right now. So sorry.
It's okay. It's part of it. This is what normally happens in our brains when we start, when we need to start talking in another language.
Yeah, true.
When we're working in Spanish, our head goes like this and this and this and let's do that. And then you have to switch and you're feeling like super dumb. This is a normal part of trying to make a translation. It's very complicated to switch from one language to the next one, and you have to take your whole personality into that other language. And I think one of the parts of what you were saying is that you as a student are understanding how culturality is working nowadays, because probably like 20 years ago, we would have not have Mate in the schools, but now we do. And we have people like Edu that are looking for creating platforms in order to make this conversation happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm very surprised actually of what you're telling me. I mean, regarding the Mate in the classroom, to be honest, I never expected that you tell me this. I need to see it. That I really need. I would love to go to this university that you're studying or school, and to see the people having a Mate, and they are not Argentinians or Uruguayan. I will be so shocked for me. But I will be very happy to know, because especially I think it's a great drink, as I mentioned in the past. But also I think it's very healthy. Has a contrary. I'm not going to mention brands, but I think the energy drinks in general, they're full of sugar, they're full of other stuff, that chemicals that I think they're not that good. And I believe Mate has a lot of great advantages in that. If you can share it, also, you are not only drinking something more healthy, but also making some social impact, let's say. But yeah, I'm very surprised for that.
Marlene, have you seen in the past couple of years, like more people of your generation talking in English or more than in German? Do you think that, for instance, the word safe, have you heard this, Edu?
Yeah, I mean, something I don't know if it's completely true, if it's a part of the generation, that's something my German friend tell me, they're mixing a lot of English words in their vocabulary. When I'm actually listening to German people speaking, I really find it funny when they're like speaking completely German, fully German conversation between two Germans, and then suddenly there's an English word or English sentence in the middle. I don't know. That's very beautiful. And then they keep speaking in German. I'm like, how is this happening? Why is it happening? I'm very curious of that. Super interesting.
Marlene, maybe you can explain to us what the word safe means, because The literally translation would be like sicher, like there's something that it is 100% safe, like a security. But then the world she lives in, Marlene is 20, and she's a true German, and she speaks perfect German and uses the word safe.
Yes, and we actually have a word for how we use English and German at the same time. It's called Denglish. So if you mix both languages, because that's what my generation essentially does. We usually have 60% German words and 40% English words, I would say. And safe is one of them. And we use it more in the context of like, oh, you want to do something? Yes, safe. Let's do it. So it's more like, I don't know how to explain it, but it is essentially still sicher. Yeah. But more in a reassuring way somehow in a conversation.
Like sure, but like to say sure, but more cool.
Right? Yes, exactly.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a cool one to say.
And I also got this part that you don't longer say tschüss, you say ciao.
Yeah, but I thought that was in place longer, but...
Yeah, I use it a lot.
Okay, now I feel very old.
I actually do it a lot because, I like to keep my Italian roots in place. Every time I'm saying goodbye, I'm saying ciao. And I like when people answer me with ciao. And I'm like, okay, great. We keep the connection at the end.
But it's kind of weird because at the end of the day, I was brought up with the idea to say tschüss. And now my nephews that are Marlene's age, they told me it's not longer tschüss, it's ciao. So at some point, maybe Edu, with immersive, you will gonna start putting all these words that you think you're saying right, yeah. But no, they're old, already old.
I mean, I'm in Bavaria, so for me, it's actually Servus all the time. So that's another. And you can use it for saying hello and bye. So Servus always works.
What was the other one? Very famous? Gruß?
Just got.
Thank you. Learning all these expressions over the Bavarian.
Well, in Hamburg, you always say moin.
Yeah, I love it.
To everything. And I love that part because it doesn't matter what part of the day it is, it's moin.
I love that expression also.
Language is a beautiful thing. And I believe that German itself has so many amazing, amazing words. And I'm very, very sure that you're going to be super successful with your app.
Thank you so much. I hope just to say a comment about that. I think one of the particularities about German I really enjoy and I love, I'm not an expert of the language, but I love how specific words you have for specific situations or verbs or whatever. It's impressive. For me, it's something impressive, you know? Sometimes I ask my friends, hey, can you translate, what is the meaning of this word? And they're like, I don't know the translation. It's like, hey, what do you mean? It's not that difficult to translate the word, right? But they're like, yeah, but it's difficult to put it in different words because it's something very particular for your language. And I found that super interesting. I think one of the most beautiful things of your language, actually, is that you have so many specific words for a particular situation, expressions or whatever. And I think that's amazing. That we don't have too much, in English especially. I think English is a very average, I don't want to use the word, but it's a very like neutral language. And I think German is very specific and it's very nice.
It's easier to understand things because they're very time-based. It also, I mean, just because in Spanish, in Mexican Spanish, we have the ahorita, which means now-ish. But now-ish can be today, tomorrow, or never.
Yes, I love it.
We're in our final segment with Edu. We're talking here about Finanzamt Germany while he is doing a mate, which is a very traditional Argentinian drink that at this point in Germany you can find in various Latin places. And I think a lot of people in Germany actually like mate. I've seen a lot of people drinking it.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I have many German friends that really admire this culture of the mate, and I love to explain it, actually. I love when they find out, well, I don't know how much I can talk about mate, but I think it's a great drink because it opens the social circle for us. It's a drink that we share it. It's a drink that we open for a conversation. It's open in a connection. So I think it's a great... Mate is the symbol of how Latin America are, and it's really the object that represents a lot of our culture. You know, it's incredible how an object can translate so many things of us.
And that is also kind of an opener when you migrate, when you come with your own flag and you become a little bit even more national. I'm definitely 100% more Mexican here than I am in Mexico. And that brings me to a lot of other people. I mean, to be honest, I never drink tequila that much in Mexico. And now here I'm drinking so much tequila.
I totally agree with you. You become more, you start missing your country. I don't know if it's missing, actually. It's not that I'm missing my country every day, but you start appreciating everything that's going on and all the things that, all the customs that you had there, like drinking mate. I'm listening much more Argentina music now than I listened when I was in Argentina, but much, much, much more, you know, like 80% of my day is listening to Argentina music. And when I was there, I was listening more international music, you know? So I do believe we became a little more, our roots are getting stronger the farther we are, let's say. We are defending more of our country, defenders more of our culture and how we are and blah, blah. But yeah, I think it's nice to embrace the both cultures. I really enjoy living in Germany, to be honest. And there are many moments I crashed with the culture itself, but I think I really like this country. Yeah.
And you're doing a positive impact by creating your own app to help people integrate better.
Yeah, that's our goal. And I hope that's actually a solution that people can use and expats are very happy to use.
So tell us before we leave you, with your mate, where can we find you? How can we get the app? Everything, all the details.
Okay, so where to find me? I think the best way to find me is on LinkedIn. It's the place I'm most active normally. I think it's pretty straightforward. Eduardo Roldan Isaac is my name. The application we're building now is called Immersive. And it is now it's a prototype we're building and we plan to launch it publicly next week, at least for testing purposes now. We are still not open for public itself, and we are not yet selling neither. So we are looking forward for getting more feedback from customers, especially from expats, trying the application, see what's working for them and make improvement from there.
Then we hope we can test it. We would love to be part of that test group. And Edu, thank you so much for being today here with us. And of course, maybe in a couple of months more to let us know how it has been with Immersive.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation. It was a great conversation. And I hope in a few months we can tell you more success stories, let's say.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Well, something actually is a very funny story here that we're friends since I came to Germany. And one thing that when I came to Germany, one thing I was kind of not very clear to understand why Germans are so obsessed with the bread that they have in this country. Yeah, I don't know what's your impression, but for me, it was a completely different kind of bread. We are used to the white one and the soft one and the crunchy one, and then you gear and then you find something different.
Yeah, it was very confusing because you have so many different kinds and then you learn a bit more and you learn that it's even more and it's a bit like an obsession. And yeah, white bread was not included so much in this equation. So why is that?
If you come from a country where bread means something light and crispy, the German Bratschöpf might feel a little overwhelming at first. But once you look closer, you'll understand. Bread here isn't just something you eat with a meal. It is the meal. Germany has more than 3,000 officially recognized types of bread. From crusty rye loaves to dark, dense sourdoughs, seeded buns, spelt twists, and hearty whole grain rounds. That variety didn't happen by accident. It has deep roots in history, geography, and culture. Think about this. Historically, what is now Germany has a patchwork of small kingdoms and principalities, each with its own local food traditions. Bakers often learned their craft in one region and brought those recipes with them as they traveled for work. These wandering journeymen helped spread knowledge across the country, adding to the diversity. Geography also plays a role. The North traditionally grew rye, while the South favored wheat, and modern bakeries often combine both for Mischbrot or mixed bread, which is one of the most popular types in the country today. Add in oats, spelt, barley, seeds and herbs, and the possibilities are nearly endless. Bread is also tied to daily life. The famous Abendbrot, literally meaning evening bread, tradition dates back to industrialization, when workers needed something quick and filling after a long day. Even now, many German families still enjoy sliced bread with cheese, cold cuts and spreads as their evening meal. This cultural importance is even recognized internationally. In 2014, German bread culture was added to UNESCO's list of intangible cultural heritage. There is even a national bread register, bread registry, and trained bread sommeliers. Of course, mass production and supermarket chains have threatened traditional baking in recent decades, but small artisan bakeries continue to hold their ground, offering regional specialties and freshly baked loaves that are often far healthier than factory bread. So yes, Germans really do take their bread seriously. It's a source of pride, history, and identity. And once you've had a slice of dark rye with butter and salt or seeded Vollkornbrot with cheese, you might just understand the obsession.
That's it for today's episode of Plus 49. A big thank you to Eduardo from Immersive for sharing his story and for showing us how learning German doesn't have to be a chore, but a real connection to everyday life. Also, thank you so much to our producer, Marlene. She's making this possible. We hope today's episode gave you plenty to think about, from migration and digital gap to hand-pulled wagons on FATATAC. As always, you can find more stories, interviews, and updates on our website. Also, don't forget to follow us on our social media. And we'll be back next week with fresh voices and insights from Germany's international community. Hasta la próxima.